Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, now you just might have heard about this one, especially if you're from Eastern Oregon. This is about the time when martial law was declared and enforced by the governor's secretary in the little town of Copperfield, near Baker City. Fern Hobbs was her name, and at the head of a small detachment of National Guardsmen, she came to town and padlocked the saloons and gambling parlors, and then put the town under state military rule, much to the city leaders' consternation. Of course, the city leaders owned the saloons and gambling parlors. This story was first published many years ago, actually, on November 5th, 2009. Here we go. One of the most unusual episodes in Oregon history started just before Christmas in 1913. Governor Oswald West declared martial law in a small eastern Oregon town, dispatched National Guard troops, and launched an attempt to fire the publicly elected sheriff of Baker County. The entire episode is mostly remembered in most of Western Oregon today as the triumph of the governor's diminutive secretary, Fern Hobbs, over a town full of roistering, hard-fisted, drunken rowdies. In parts of Eastern Oregon, though, it's remembered as a governor behaving like a third-world dictator. As with so many history stories, the truth of the matter is a bit obscure, and probably borrows from both sides of the debate. It all played out in Copperfield, a tiny mining town just north of Baker City, where the drinking and gambling joints were owned by the city fathers, and these were using their political clout to keep the competition out. The competition responded by putting together a petition and sending it to Oswald West. Willamette Valley pro-temperance newspapers like the Portland Morning Oregonian got a hold of this issue and played it big. West sent a telegram to the Baker County Sheriff, Ed Rand, demanding that he take care of the problem. Rand replied that he had no evidence of lawbreaking and therefore no legal basis on which to take such action. A reasonable reply, but likely a more than a bit insincere. Sheriffs didn't get paid much at the time, certainly not enough to justify starting a fight with a hard-fisted, hard-drinking town full of heavily armed miners. Rebuffed by Rand, West decided to dispatch his personal secretary, Fern Hobbs, to take care of the problem. Copperfield residents apparently thought this was a wonderful joke and hung the town with banners and bunting to welcome her to the town. They were in for a rude shock. Hobbs was 5'3 and weighed just 104 pounds, but when she descended from the train, she was at the head of a small column of National Guard troops. Thus reinforced, she strode to City Hall and demanded that all city officials with business ties to the booze and bones business immediately step down from their public posts. If they did not, she would impose martial law upon the city, seize all weapons, padlock all saloons, and destroy all drinking and gambling supplies. As she likely expected, the officials refused, so she and the troops carried out all her threats on the spot. Then, leaving the troops there to maintain order and keep the saloons shut down, Hobbs got back on the train and headed straight back to Baker City, where she checked into the Geyser Grand Hotel and rebuffed all attempts to contact her. Copperfield remained under martial law for weeks. A local court issued an injunction ordering them to stop the confiscation of property until the right to do so could be tested in court. West ordered the soldiers to ignore it and carry on. Pro-temperance newspapers in the Willamette Valley celebrated the victory. Eastern Oregon newspapers sounded worried and scared. Quote, "If the power and authority of our civil courts is to be thus treated, then we certainly have a czar in the gubernatorial chair in Salem, whose word and command is law, and we had just as well abolish our courts and turn over all affairs of state to the executive," wrote the editor of the Baker City Morning Democrat. In the aftermath, rumors flew, and some made it into the papers. Quote, "Martial law for Baker next," screamed a headline in the Morning Democrat in type 2 inches tall. There were also rumors that the governor was going to try to oust Sheriff Rand by fiat, something governors were not empowered to do. Sheriffs, of course, are elected officials, so they serve at the pleasure of voters, not governors. But in the end, it all subsided. West had made his point. And a few months later, a mysterious fire swept through Copperfield and left the town a ruin. It was never rebuilt. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.